invited to the Sunday morning adult discussion Bible group. Did I say the same thing twice? Here at Wings Christian Fellowship. Today we are going to be in the 15th chapter for the very last time, because we're going to get done with it today, and the 15th chapter of Matthew. And I need a very wonderful person, probably Mr. Oscar, man of the day, to lead us in prayer this morning.
Well, thank you for saying that, but Jesus is always the man of the day.
Yeah. He's the God of the day.
Okay, too. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to gather together and to look into your word, and we ask you to just inspire our hearts and our minds, and we just want to lift and magnify you, and that's what it's all about. And we just thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I really loved our reading, and it stuck with me, about Jesus going up and sitting down on the hill. And last week, and it really made me understand that when you're in the will of God, he's going to lead you, whether, you know, no matter what it is that he's having you do. And I feel like he's leading us all in uncertain ways these days. And all we have to do is the very next thing that he tells us to do, do it. He says, go sit on the side of a mountain, go sit on the side of a mountain, and he will bring people to you. And when they come, you will heal them with his word, and you will feed them, like the next portion of scripture says in that, where he feeds the 4,000. Right after that, he heals them for 3 days, and then he feeds them just by being obedient to the words that, to the actions and words that God gave him. So anyway, let's see, whose turn is it to read this morning? You want me to read?
I think I can do it if I get close enough.
You got your glasses?
Oh, he's up to him. He's got to, we got to go to specialist.
Matthew chapter 15, verse 30. You want to start there or 29?
30, and then just keep on going down to the end of the chapter.
And a great multitude came to him, bringing with them the lame, the maimed, the blind, the dumb, and many others. And he put them down at his feet, and he cured them. So that the crowd was amazed when they saw the dumb speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they realized they recognized and praised and thanked and glorified the God of Israel. Amen. Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have pity and sympathy and am deeply moved for the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days and they have nothing at all left to eat, and I am not willing to send them away hungry, lest they faint or become exalted on the way. And the disciples said to him, where are we to get bread sufficient to feed so great a crowd in this isolated and desert place? Jesus asked them, how many loaves of bread do you have? They replied, 7 and a few small fish. And ordering the crowd to recline on the hill ground, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and when he had given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. And they all ate and were satisfied, and they gathered up 7 large provisions, baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. Those who ate were 4,000 men, not including the women and the children. Then he dismissed the crowd and got into the boat, and he went to the district of Magdala.
You know, it's very strange to me that this is not the first time we've had the miracle of the feeding of the thousands of followers in the book of Matthew, isn't it? Didn't we have back a ways back, like in 12 or something, where they fed 5,000 and the boy had the fish and the breads and the disciples were dumbfounded and didn't know how they were going to feed these people. But this is the second time this has happened, and I don't think it's been a real long time from the last time that it happened.
That was in Matthew chapter 14, verse 20.
Yeah, one chapter ago. And you can kind of understand why they were dumbfounded and oh Lord, how, you know, and that they picked up the remnants and they had 12 baskets of this and that left over. But I'm having a hard time, and I shouldn't, because I know what it is. It's the same thing that's in us. Because it says here in verse 33, his disciples said unto him, whence, what does that word mean, whence, how? Let me see. Oh, from where? You know, where are we going to get? Is kind of what they're saying there. Let me get back. His disciples said, and where are we going to get so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus said unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, seven, and a few little fishes. You don't think this is just Matthew forgetting what he wrote before and decided to write the same story again, do you? It's very similar. But you wonder why the disciples almost have no memory that it's happened before. And I also thought that it was so interesting here that he said, Jesus himself, now it doesn't say that here, it says he took, but Jesus himself took the seven loaves and the fishes, and Jesus gave thanks, and Jesus broke them and gave them to the disciples. It was not self-serve. They didn't set up a buffet. Jesus blessed them and broke them, and he gave them to his disciples, to his followers. Oh, welcome, disciples. Here you are, followers. He gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave them to the multitude. If that's not our ministry, even though every chapter of our lives we seem to forget it over and over again, just like we saw it in Matthew 14, and now we're seeing it again in Matthew 15. And each and every time it seems like the disciples are going, oh, duh, how are we going to do that? You know, but Jesus still keeps to his original plan. Jesus blessed them, Jesus broke them, and then he handed them out to the disciples, and the disciples gave of that blessing to the multitude. Let somebody talk about it. It was interesting to me.
I was looking, seeing where it showed that. Well, they had in Matthew 14.
Yeah, let's take a peek.
Where it says that he had five loaves,
yeah,
two fish,
and more people.
And they picked up 12 baskets full.
Mm-hmm. Small baskets.
Small baskets. And then over in 15, where they had it, he had.
Seven loaves. Two fish, was it?
Uh-uh, five. They never named how many fish. But I thought it was five.
Yeah,
somewhere
small,
else.
Small.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what did they fill up?
And what did they pick up again?
Seven.
12.
Baskets.
12 baskets.
Large baskets.
And they had and they gathered up seven large, well, I said it was baskets.
Well, there's a...
And you know the numbers all mean something.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You have the list of numbers over there?
I was going to say those numbers are very connected.
Yeah, the numbers mean a lot if you'll look at that. And think about this. He had just showed them that miracle. And yet, what did they say to him in the second miracle? Where are we going to find so much? What, you know, where are we going to get this?
Where are we going to get all this?
They had just seen him do the miraculous thing, and yet they still couldn't believe it, you know. And you can understand why when Jesus stood and looked over Jerusalem, he basically wept. And he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I gather you as a mother hen does her brood, and you would not? In other words, he's saying, what is it going to take for this to break through on you? You know what I mean. Who I am, what I'm doing, you know. I mean, it's amazing when you think about that, because here you've got two different situations, two different amounts. And those numbers do mean a lot. We should tell what those numbers are in relationship.
Well, it says two and two means...
Union,
division, and witnessing.
Seven means completeness, spiritual perfection.
Take it from what the first one was to the second one. Tell the number as you read the scripture, and it'll make a lot more sense.
Number two is union, division, and witnessing.
How about in 14, in chapter 14
read,
and 12?
Read what it says in 14 and then 14, use that to tell them what the number meant.
It had five loaves. Five is grace, isn't it? Five.
Grace, or God's goodness. Mm-hmm.
And two is
union, division, and witnessing.
Mm-hmm. And then in the
they picked up afterwards.
And just taking those two numbers there, you know, grace, union, witnessing, and division. It can be division. Mm-hmm. How can two walk together unless they be in union or they may be in agreement? Mm-hmm. And when you look at what that's saying, it's saying only by the grace of God can you come into that second thing of union, witnessing, and you know. Mm-hmm. And you have to apply the numbers as you're reading the scripture, because then it begins to mean something, you know what I mean? And then how many baskets did they take up?
12.
12, okay.
12 is governmental perfection.
Governmental perfection, see? That begins to bring governmental perfection into your life, you know. Then if you go back to the other chapter and read what it says.
Before you do that, when you said governmental perfection, in my mind came, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Because governmental perfection doesn't mean Washington, D.C.
No.
It means the government shall be upon his shoulder, the government,
his government.
The grace of God. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The government.
That's right. That's right.
Shall be upon his shoulders. What's on his shoulders? We're the body, he is the head. He's on our, you know, it's one spirit. It's one spirit.
I look at one.
I don't even know how to say it.
Come to this again in the one scripture where he was saying, have you been with me so long? In another scripture, he's saying that. And then when you look in this, well, look how long, just previously, what I performed. You know, what God did, and then they get here, another situation.
Well, think about this too. You know, when he allowed them to be part of a lot of miracle things, you know, he sent them out by twos and different things, you know, people were healed and all that. Now, if you took that and you took it over into the Pentecostal realm, you know, it's not the gifts of the Spirit that determine who and what you are in Christ. It's the fruit of the Spirit.
We were just talking about that.
The fruit of the Spirit.
We just said that when we were getting out of the car.
And think about the rest of this when you think about that, is that, you know, he allowed them, he broke the bread, and we know that he's the bread that came down from heaven.
Yeah, yes.
And he was broken for us.
Yes.
You know, and we have to, he said, except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. So we have to partake of him, and we have to keep him central in everything that that we do and everything that we say.
Yes.
And when we do that, then what ends up happening is that then he puts the stuff in our hands to disperse it to mankind, see?
Yes.
And and when you think about that, I mean, it's mind-blowing. And it's so simple. It's not really complicated, because you can just see it, oh, that whole picture here, if you really have eyes to see it. Excuse me. And then what happens? Then when they've dispersed things, what does that cause to happen when everyone has eaten? It causes there to be 12 baskets. 12 governmental perfection. Full, completely full.
Yes.
Large
baskets. That's right. And
yes.
And then when you come up into the other part, read the numbers up there. That was 14 back there. Read up 15, and then apply those numbers.
They had 7.
Well, just read the whole scripture so that it makes sense.
Jesus asked them, "How many loaves of bread do you have?" They replied, 7.
Now tell what the number 7 means.
7 means completeness, spiritual perfection.
Okay.
It's different than the fish.
Then he says a few small fishes. Mm-hmm. But when you get down, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, gave thanks, broke them, they dispersed them. All 8 were satisfied. Then they gathered up 7.
What's the number 7 again?
Large baskets.
Completeness, spiritual perfection.
Okay.
Full of the broken.
And when you apply the meaning of those numbers in there, all of a sudden it's painting a picture of what he's doing.
Yes.
You know. And he had to do that how many times? Two times.
Yeah.
Okay. What does it say? Out of the mouth of how many witnesses let every word be established?
Two.
Two is union, witnessing, and division, you know. Well, that was him bringing union to what he had done and what he was actually saying there. And because these were, all of these things that he did and that he said were actually like parables. And when you realize that they're parables, yeah, they happened, but they had a story behind them.
Yes.
And until you see the story, it's just a nice little thing to read, and all you think, well, that's wonderful that Jesus did that stuff. Well, yeah, it is wonderful, but it's wonderful when you realize that he's on a deeper realm. He's talking to you about
yes.
the kingdom of God. He's talking to you about you ministering the bread of life
yes.
to people. You ministering the meat of life. You know, he said, what did Jesus say? They came to him one time, and he sent them away to get food. And remember, that was at the well, you know, and with the Samaritan woman. And when they came back, what did he say to them? He said, I have a meat that you don't know about.
Yeah.
You don't know about it yet. You're going to know about it. That's what he was implying. You don't know about it, but you're going to know. Mm-hmm. And you realize that meat of the word. You know, what do you give a baby? You give a baby milk. You give grown people start eating meat, because meat brings total growth and brings you up into full manhood, if you want to call it that, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you know, all of these things, they're just so simple and they're just so easy. But yet, most people read right past all of this, and it's just a nice little story. And yeah, it was nice that they were there when there was a miracle. But what is it saying? It's speaking to us if we'll listen, if we've got ears to hear what this is saying, and eyes to see what it's showing us. It's showing us that we're going to be doing these things, because he's going to put these things in your hand. As you grow up into him, he's going to begin to have you disperse the bread of life to people. You disperse the meat of God to people, you know. And, you know, when we come to realize that, oh my goodness, it's just, it's so beautiful what he's doing. And it's a message to us. This is the gospel of the kingdom. Mm-hmm. We have to realize that. You know, the tester hadn't been killed yet. Mm-hmm. You know, so the covenant was not in full-blown situation yet. Mm-hmm. Now, what happened when the 120 was in the upper room? Think about that. What happened? They got in what? One accord. And then when they got in one accord, then what happened? Then there came the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Yes.
And if you look up the name for spirit in the Old Testament, it's Rasha or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it means like a wind. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what it means, wind, basically. A mighty rushing wind came into the room. And what happened? Cloven tongues of fire were set upon their head. What did that mean? The fire of God was actually put into them. They were baptized deeply into the Holy Spirit then. And he told them in other places, he said, there's going to come a time when the Holy Spirit will bring everything back into remembrance to you. All of a sudden you'll remember, and you're going to start to understand. But even what the Scripture says about us, we've been told that that a lot of the things that happened back there wasn't even totally for their day. It was for our day, you know. When he told them, he said, your fathers and your elders and all that, they desired to see my day.
Yeah.
But they couldn't see it. But he said, Abraham saw my day. Mm. Well, why did Abraham see it? Because God graphically laid it out for him in his son. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, we're coming to a place where he's going to take the lid off all these things. We're going to start understanding them. And not only understanding it, but moving and flowing in them. And you know, it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful thing.
When you were talking just then, I realized that in all the scripture that I've read, and these two stories about Jesus himself blessed the bread and broke it, and gave it to his disciples. And then you were talking about, now consider this, later, much later, at the night before he died, they were in the upper room, and you were talking about the bread, and it was Passover, and Jesus took the bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it. The exact same story. It's like, and I'm sure, and he says, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, take this and eat of it. And then he said, do this in remembrance of me. And you were just talking about remembrance, that came. I'm sure they were thinking, he blessed the bread and he broke it. And then he gave it to his disciples. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. This, it's the same story. And I never saw that before until today.
It all fits together perfectly.
Today, how that fits together with the Last Supper.
I also looked at the 4,000.
Yeah, four. What does number four mean?
Four means creation and world.
Right.
And 1,000 means the divine completeness and the glory of God.
So what's he going to do? He's going to reveal to the whole world his divine completeness and the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, when you
and he's doing it through us.
Through us, it's going to be through.
He is making us his people. As him.
Think about what happened with Abraham back there. Remember when they took up there, and I told you, and I honestly believe this, and I would tell, I don't think anybody can convince me any different than this, that when Abraham, you know, took his son, and I believe his son was not a little kid, because you don't pile a bunch of wood on a little kid.
No.
You don't do that. Mm-hmm. He had to be a mature kid,
yes.
A mature man, maybe even. And he piled that wood on him, and when his son asked him, you know, we've got the wood, we got the fire, you know, where's the sacrifice? What did God say? He'll prepare himself as a sacrifice. Jesus was the sacrifice. He prepared himself from the realm of the spirit to be the sacrifice. He was the bread. He was all of those things, see? And it was God incarnate in flesh doing all this, you know. And
what was caught in the thicket?
Please?
What was caught in the thicket?
What was the a ram, sure. But see in type and shadow, he that ram, which was, what is a ram? It is a mature sheep.
Yeah.
Yes. Mature sheep is what it really amounts out to. And but think about that. He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God knew about all this. And even in Revelations, when it talks about the lamb back there in Revelations, and you start reading about it in Revelations, the word for lamb there is a word that means lambkin. And you take those two words and separate them for a second. The lamb and what?
Kin.
His kin. Who's his kin?
We are.
You're right. You're right. We are. Lamb kin. Lamb and his kin. And you know, it doesn't say a big sheep, you know, like a full grown sheep or a ram or anything. It says the lamb kin, a lamb kin. And oh my goodness. The word of God is so, and it's really so simple, but it's so simple that we have a hard time grasping it with our natural mind. We just about can't. It's an enmity against God. You know, it can't receive the things of God. It don't want to receive the things of God. A lot of the ministries out there that are these very educated, you know, highfalutin.
Yeah.
Experts and stuff, they don't even begin to see what God's doing. They see it on the surface. Mm-hmm. They don't see what the Spirit was really showing underneath the surface of the thing. But what scriptures say? He hides these things from the wise and the prudent. And who does he reveal them unto? Mm-hmm. Babes. Mm-hmm. What's the difference between a babe, a little kid, and let's say an adult who's very educated and very smart and everything else? What's the difference? The little kid is like a sponge.
Yes.
He will absorb everything that he sees, everything he does. Watch your little grandkids or your little nephews or nieces or what, and watch them. They will be watching their parents. They'll be watching you. And things that you do, if you look off for a minute and then look back, they'll be doing the same thing that you did. Because why? They absorb that. And except you become as a little child, you can't enter the kingdom. You can't even see it. Why? Because you're willing to absorb whatever God gives you, and you're willing to give the credit to where the credit belongs. Mm-hmm. Not that you were so smart that you figured all this stuff out, but that you were a sponge and you received what he showed you. And like I've told you all before, don't never be afraid to tell God you don't know something or you don't understand something. And if it's your time to know it, then he will give it to you, or he will show it to you. And sometimes very graphically he'll show it to you and something else, you know. But anyway, I need to be quiet. You guys.
How precious.
Very good.
That was precious.
Yeah. Well, it's beautiful that the two stories are there. And like I say, you just, you almost think with the disciples, you think, what in the world did this guy have to do to get you to see what he was doing? That he had power over everything, you know. My goodness.
Well, how many times have we done that?
Oh, that's picture of us.
We've seen the same thing. We've seen the same thing, the same situation.
Sure.
If we're actively do things for a hit, here comes another thing happening. Yeah. It's like, oh, God.
And it's the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
and
right.
And you go, I don't know what to do. Well, yeah, wait. Yeah.
That's right. Wow. Well, that's...
Did you look at the end of this story, he says, after all these things happened, Jesus got in the boat and he went to Magdala, or whatever that is.
Magdala.
You know what that means?
Magdadan.
That word?
He went to the district of Magdadan. Yeah.
A tower, or an elevated stage, a pulpit. I guess that was...
Does it mean that? Did you look up the definition of it?
Yeah, well, it comes from that word. Let me see where I go. A tower, Magdala, a place in Palestine. It means a tower.
A tower.
A tower. Yeah. But then it comes from, compared to age 4026, that's more of a basic word for it. It says tower, an elevated stage or a pulpit.
Yeah.
Or a raised bed.
Yeah. Well, and what was he really doing in all that? He was preaching them a sermon, visually preaching them a sermon, you know, and what he told them. Mm-hmm. And then he was showing them the sermon, you know. Mm-hmm. And
that's when you say, know them by their fruits, not by their gifts.
Yeah.
You have to show people, not tell them.
I don't know if you guys have ever paid much attention to what they do over in the Middle East, is that they have these big, high, tall towers, and they have, I guess it's a priest or whatever it is for whatever religion they are, even in the Muslim faith, they go up into the top of the tower, and they holler out stuff that it's the hour of prayer, you know, and everybody's supposed to go to prayer, you know, when they do that stuff, and you know, even. With him making that name be, you know, it says,
Magdalene,
or whatever. I don't know how you pronounce that.
Magdalene.
Yeah.
Magdalene.
Yeah.
Was from.
Yes. Mary Magdalene. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I don't.
She's probably Mary from Magdala.
She might have been.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times that's what they use. That's how they used your last name, was where you were from. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times, because you had a first name and Joseph of what? Oh. Arimathea. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you know that
Jesus of Galilee.
Yeah, yeah. So that's where you didn't really have a last name, so to speak. You know, but. Yeah, you know, it's really neat what God does, and he just his word is so perfect and so past us finding out without him revealing it. He has to reveal it. And
but he's been so faithful to reveal it.
Oh, he will.
In these last couple of years especially.
Well, it's his great pleasure.
He's just pouring it in.
Yeah, yeah.
Pouring it in, if we can just retain it.
Well, one thing that I can say for a fact, he promised that his word would never return void. And when he sends it forth, no matter what form it comes in, through something you read, through something you hear, through a personal revelation or whatever it is, even though that word that you don't always move right in and start functioning in it, it's down inside of you. And when the time is right, it will come to the surface, you know. I remember one time, one of the young ladies in the church, I was talking to her at a thing when Clyde had a cookout over at his old house when he used to live in, you know, over in Westchester, you know. And he had this cookout over there, and I was sitting there and talking to this young lady. And she was asking a lot of questions and stuff, and I started telling her some things. And she says, why have I never heard this before? And I said, it isn't because I haven't preached it or said it before, because I have. I said, because it wasn't time for you to hear it. Mm-hmm. Because you know what? She probably wouldn't, she didn't receive it when she didn't hear it, see? Mm-hmm. But it was down inside of her, and the time was right for it to come up, you know? And that's what we have to realize, is that His word never returns void. It all, whatever He sent it forth to do, it will always accomplish that, you know? And, you know, it doesn't depend on us as much as we think it does sometimes. You know, we have a tendency to think, oh, bless God, you know, if I'd have just done this or done that, then the Lord would have really done something. You know, no, it doesn't really depend on you. It depends on Him moving in you.
Yes.
And you coming to the realization of what it's all about.
And not one will be lost, and that's He's right. in control of them.
Right.
He'll leave the 99 and go find the one that was lost.
I would love to have someone who doesn't like reconciliation. I would love to have them try to explain to me what it means when it says that He works all things after the counsel of His own will, and then the scripture where it says He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'd like for them to explain to me how you put those two together and then blow them away, because that's what you do if you're not careful. And we don't totally understand everything in the scriptures. There's a lot of things that God hasn't given us the understanding of. But, you know, it's coming. It's coming when it's time. He's gonna reveal things to us, I think, throughout the ages to come, you know. And, you know, there's coming a time when we'll know even as we're known, you know.
Well, we are at the end of that chapter. Does anybody have anything more they want to say about what we were talking about today? Because we should probably mention that today's going to be the last Sunday school scheduled here at Wings as of now. We're going to go to prayer. We're going to seek the Lord's face. We're going to find out what comes next.
Yes.
And let's close a little bit early with prayer for Oscar, for Margaret, who are retiring as of today, and for our church as it finds what God has for us next. And we, let's just close in a word of prayer. How about you, Brenda?
All right. Father, we just thank You and give You praise for all that You've been revealing to us, for how You're growing us up into Thyself, O God. We thank You, so appreciate Brother Oscar and Margaret. And Father, we thank You for all that You've done in them, through them, mm-hmm. and what they've given unto us, Lord, as You are making us one in You, O God. Mm-hmm. And Father, we will not fail to give You the praise and the glory as we also step forth looking to You for guidance and wisdom into what Your further plan, purpose is for each one of us in this church. For we ask it all in Jesus' name and give You praise. Amen.
Praise
and God, we thank You so much for this last Sunday school that You've given us. Such a precious word.
Yes, You have.
Such a deep and yet simple word.
Yes.
Help us to understand that the deeper it goes, the simpler it gets.
Yes.
Help us to always be ready with an ear to hear and a heart to understand,
yes,
and a will to obey what You tell us to do.
Yes.
Father, we ask these things as you just continue to fill us with Your Spirit,
Lord,
and with the unity that You want us to have going forward.
Yes.
That the words that we have just said that Brother Oscar has just brought, as that you do all things after the counsel of your will.
Yes,
and
Lord,
help us to understand and to learn that unity and to teach it and to live it, and to put anything of division and disunity out of our brain, out of our body, out of our will, and live in the spirit of oneness that you have given us to live. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.